I need the presence of Jesus. So let's just, I believe you all walked in here with him because you house him, but let's just ask him for just some special revelation. So Jesus, we do. We ask you right now, God. Father, we ask that you would take the roof off this place, God, and just pour your living water. Pour down your fire. God, we want it all. We want the water. We want fire. We want, like Paul says, anything and everything you have for us. God, we want it. We're not putting our agenda over anything, any way you want to operate and move in Moms with Swords. God, you have full reign. You have full operating power. You are the CEO of these Thursday mornings. So God, right now, take charge. God, take charge of my tongue. God, may the opinions of man fall away. Any joyisms fall away. God, we only want revelation. We want revelation, God, from the Holy Spirit of God. These mamas, that's what we need. That's what I need. That's what is sustaining. So Holy Spirit, would you end on a big note? Would you show up in a big way over these next few minutes, God? Would you reign and rule? I submit to your lordship. This is your platform. I am merely the tongue and the mouth. This is your platform. This is your stage. So speak, speak, Holy Spirit. Would you say that, Mom, just under your breath? Would you just say, speak? Your servant is listening. Say that one more time. Holy Spirit, speak. Your servant is listening. Right now, Jesus, right now, and in this place, speak, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So it's time to wrap up a Marked Out. But I promise you won't have to wait too much longer because we are starting back our new session early February. So go ahead and think that in your head. Early February, we are going to be back here on Thursday mornings. Don't know yet. God's starting to germinate some things. I'm starting to ruminate on some things. I've got a kind of something I'm thinking about. So we'll see how the Holy Spirit wraps it up. But it's going to be early February. But today we're wrapping up Marked Out. And I think as I was looking in our scripture, this is kind of a part two of the message I taught a couple weeks ago out of Philippians 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you know Sweet Anne will put it on the screen. But in Philippians 3, I think Paul says it better than I can say it in Philippians 3:1. As I was studying, I was reading in Philippians 3, and I found this verse, and I was like, oh gosh, Anne, we gotta say this, because this is what Paul says in Philippians 3:1. And I think this is perfect for this morning. Paul says this. He says, it's time that I wrap up these thoughts to you. Is that awesome? So it's time that I wrap up these thoughts to you, my brothers and my sisters. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, moms. And he says, I don't mind writing these things over and over to you, as I know it keeps you safe. Again, as we know Paul, remember Paul wasn't afraid to say the same things over and over, much like us moms. Even this morning, we said the same thing over and over in the 2 hours our kids were awake and got to school, right? Yes. Well, Paul, today, the Holy Spirit, I believe, I'm not giving you anything new. I think I'm going to probably say the same thing I've been saying for 8 weeks, but I don't mind repeating it to this morning, because I know, y'all, the Word of God keeps you safe. So although we're wrapping up, may God bring these revelations that he has given to you over and over and over, because that will keep you safe. So we're going to wrap it up today. Wrapping up our thoughts. We were in Philippians 3, starting in verse 12 a couple weeks ago, and I just want to reread those verses 12 through 16, even though today we're going to focus on verses 14 and 16. But let's read this whole part of scripture of Paul in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. Paul says this, I'm not there yet, Here's one of our buzzwords we've learned. Nor have I become perfect. That's hashtag I'm not perfect. Everything moms with swords. That's our new hashtag. But I am charging on to gain anything and everything the anointed one Jesus has in store for me. We want it all, Lord. We want it all. And nothing will stand in my way because he's grabbed me, y'all. I know what he's done for me, and he won't let me go. No matter how far I stray, he won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, it's, as I said, I know I've not arrived, but there's one thing. See, Paul's repeating the same message I am doing. I'm leaving my old life behind, putting everything on the line for this mission. I'm sprinting towards the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively and only in Jesus the Anointed. All of us who are mature ought to think the same way about these things and these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well. For now, let's hold on to what we have been shown and keep in step with these teachings. Man, I can't wait to unpack these verses. The tenacity of Paul. I just love Paul. Aaron and I were talking this week earlier that we're going to have a girls' night. We're going to rent that movie, the movie that Jim Caviezel, the one that played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. Oh, my gosh. He plays Paul, and I can't wait. We got to watch this movie because now that we've unpacked and learned so much about Paul, I've learned to love him in a way I didn't love him before because I didn't really know him. I love his tenacity. I relate to his boldness and his brashness. He wasn't a man of choice words, or he was a man of choice words, and he wasn't afraid to speak the truth boldly. But we got to remember who he was. Let's go back, shall we? Saul is who he originally was, Saul of Tarsus, which is who he was, and he appears first in Scripture in Acts 7. And the Lord had me in Acts a couple years ago, and I walked all the way through the book of Acts, and it's a powerful, if you need something, if you need a place to be in while Moms with Swords is not in session, I would highly encourage you, start in Acts chapter 1 and read that book of the Bible. Man, it is powerful. So Paul shows up on the scene in the stoning of the first martyr was Stephen. He was the first martyr of the cause of Christ. Paul persecuted, and he was there. Some people even say that Paul was present at the foot of the cross while Jesus, who he had persecuted, was being crucified. In Galatians 1:13, this is Paul speaking again. Paul tells us this about himself. He says, surely you are familiar with my personal history. See, again, the mirror. Remember the mirror a couple weeks ago? Paul never was ashamed to remind you of who he was. He was free of his past, but he knew that who he was in Jesus was it trumped anything he did in the past. So he was free and able to say, you're familiar with my personal history. And then he goes on to say, with my dedication to the teachings and traditions of Judaism, I persecuted the church of God. In fact, he even says, I meant to destroy it. And earlier in Philippians, in chapter 3, in verse 4, he reminds us in Philippians 3, he reminds us of who he is. The same thing. He said, I was a zealot. I was ready to take down Jesus and his whole mission. And knowing this about this man who wrote this text we're going to be in from a prison, man, it just means so much more knowing the author and knowing a little bit about his story. Moms, people need to know you, but don't be afraid to tell them your story and what God has done for you. Because more likely, they're going to be able to relate with your past more than who you are today. They probably have some of you on a pedestal, and if you just remind them, let me tell you who I was, what I've done, what God has done for me, that will bring your relationship to a whole nother level. That's a word for some of you. Some of you are in relationships, Maybe even with a non-believer, and God, and you're afraid to share anything of your past, can I urge you today, listen to the Holy Spirit and maybe take off the mask and see what God will do in that relationship. Take off the mask. Remember the commercial. It's time to put down the mask. Has anybody seen that commercial? Have you watched Hallmark yet? The little circle, sad face. And then she keeps it in her pocket for every picture after she's put down the mask. I'm like, no, you burn that mask, sister. Burn it. Burn it. So let's look at these three scriptures in starting in 14. I just want us to look at these scriptures. I just want us to read them again, and then we're going to dissect them. Paul says, I'm sprinting towards the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively in Jesus the Anointed. All of us who are mature ought to think the same way about these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well. For now, let's hold on to what we have been shown and keep in step with these teachings. I want us to break out. I really want us to dissect, which I love definitions. And the word dissect means to cut apart, to examine and analyze. I want us to do that to these three verses today. And I think about our children, and any of you, especially some of you who have children in Venture or Target, you know, they're always having some fun dissection, like they're dissecting a shark liver and a frog brain and all this stuff. But I was thinking as I was preparing for this, I thought, man, what if we as moms took a scripture every week in our family, and we just dissected it. We cut it out. We picked it apart. We analyzed it. And so, as God always does, as I was preparing for this, God said, we won't start with you, bossy. So the other night, I'm in a stage of life where my kids, it's hard for us all to be in one room together. So I'm like, I got two out of three. Two out of three, Lord. I'm going to go with a two out of three. And God, we've been dissecting the Beatitudes because my kids are in a season of they're not very happy because they're being persecuted and talked about and, you know, just living through some of that stuff. And so I thought, you know what? We're going to dissect the Beatitudes. When Jesus says, blessed are you when you are persecuted, we're going to dissect that and see what that means when you want to throw back at them what they're throwing at you. So what if we as moms, maybe you can do that over this, you know, until Moms with Swords comes back in session. Maybe we could just, you could just ask the Holy Spirit, God, give us a verse a week. Maybe it's the fruits of the Spirit. That's a good place to start. The Beatitudes, if some of you or your kids are in places like my kids are, it's a great place to start. The Psalms. And you just started dissecting, cutting it, and laying it out and examining it. That is something worth dissecting. Because that is going to last long, long time. That's going to be eternal. And I know you got practice every night of the week. I know, but listen, we can make time for something we want to make time for. So just ask the Holy Spirit. Because I believe there's treasure, not just treasure, I believe there's much plunder to be found and to be had when we do that. When we take the time to not just read and hear it, which is great, but the fact that we take it and we study it and we dissect it. I think some amazing things and conversations can come in your home when you do that with the Word of God. And his word will not return void. So I want us to dissect first this verse in 14. I could teach every week on just one of these verses, but I'm going to go quick through three verses, and we're going to start with verse 14. Paul says, I'm sprinting towards the only goal that counts. You need to underline that. You need to write that. The only goal that counts. You need to put that on your bathroom mirror. To cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively, y'all, Not in whether my kid makes the team or not. Not if my kids get into that preschool or they get into that college or they marry that person. Resurrection life is found in nowhere else but Jesus Christ, the anointed. Earlier in verse 13, Paul said, everything was on the line for this mission. Everything's on the line. And because we know who Paul was, what we can know about Paul after reading this scripture is Paul has perspective. Paul's got perspective from both sides, because if you remember, Paul was on the side of persecuting the church, and now he is on the side of cheering on the church. Sometimes it's good to have perspective. You know, I have one of my daughters in Christian school now, but she for 8 years was in public school. So when she stepped into this private Christian school, she had perspective and she was grateful for what she was now getting because of what she had before. Perspective is good. And Paul's got it. He knows firsthand the grass is not greener on the other side. If my kid just gets that, they'll be happy. And what happens? Your kid gets that, and what happens? They're not happy. With us, if I just do that, I'll be happy. And what happens? We're not. Because the grass isn't always greener. We've got to run towards goals that matter, goals that count. So today, I want you to think about the things we run after. See, Paul says, I'm running after the only goal that counts. But mom, what are some of our race goals? What are some of the goals that we run after because we think they count so much? We're running after, let me just call out a few of them. We're running after the goal of being the cool mom. I want all my kids' friends to like me. We're running after the goal of being the mom that's at school all the time because that shows that I'm a good mom. We run after the goals that say, my kid is on this team and my kid must be really good and smart, or my kid made Target or Venture, so my kid's really smart. We run after those things. My kid made that team. Or maybe you're like, y'all have those art shows and your kid has to do those art projects and instead of letting the kids do it, we mamas take over. I had a friend one time, and she was one of those moms. It was when I had Sydney was a baby, and we did life a lot together. And she was the mom that was always like, he's reading. And he was 6 months. I was like, well, Sydney is pooping really well. You know, because that was really important to her. Like, he's walking. Oh, actually, he's already made that team and he's five. That was her goal. And I believe that's what we moms are doing. We're sprinting towards goals that don't count. And goal here in the Greek is which to fix the eye to. So Paul's saying, I'm running towards something. I'm fixing my eye on that. That is a mark aimed at. Paul says, I'm running towards something that I'm fixing my eyes to. And if you remember our theme verse, Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus and running. That is what Paul's goal was, Jesus. There was an article in Active Runners on the website, and it said this. Consider when you set your goals, planning beyond your next race or even your next season, and choosing an ambitious long-term target. Mom, what are your goals for your children? What you got your eye fixed on that? You've got, that is your aim, that is your mark. Consider what those are. What is it that makes you stay in this race? What goal or goals matter to you? Some of you are great goal setters. Some of you, like, you are like, you've got that down. You're like, I've got them. I know what they are. I've written them down since they were in my womb. I have goals. But some of you might be like me. Like, I am not a very competitive person. Like, at boot camp, like, everybody else is running, and I'm pretty much the back of the pack. And I don't care, because my motto is, I am here. Shut up. Like, you know, but you got some of those that, like, they want to be first. Like, my oldest daughter, like, she's going to beat you and win everything. Like, she, I don't know where she gets that, because I, literally, I'm not, like, you know, you can go. Like, that's how kind of my middle child is. She's like, oh, you want the ball? Okay, here you go. You know, there's just that, some of us, like, you may be like me. Like, I don't have a lot of long-term goals, but the Lord has challenged me over the last several years about this. Joy, what is your goal? What is your eye marked at for your kids? And so, as some of you know, I've come up with three R's, my three R's. Really, my main goals for my kids is they would be repentful, that they would be righteous in a very unrighteous world, and that they would be radical followers of Jesus. What are your goals, Mom? Can we be ambitious today? And can we ask God, what are the goals I'm setting for me? Some of you just being at Moms with Swords, that is a huge goal for some of you. You're here. You showed up. I see you strolling those babies in and, I mean, nursing. And, I mean, praise God you're here. But what's your goal going to be when Moms with Swords is not in session? How are you going to get in the Word? How are you going to continue to keep your eyes on Jesus? Let's be ambitious today. There's something that some of you might have done, and I just want to show you. We have a picture of a family in our church, Mary Beth and Justin Purvis. I asked them to send us a picture. Some of you have done this, written a family mission statement. And if you haven't, this is a great thing to do. And I haven't, because I'm not that a big goal, but I'm going to try. Todd and I are going to try to come together over these next few months and do this. But this is what Justin and Mary Beth have come up with. And maybe this gives you just an idea. Some of you, like, just, well, give me an idea. Like, this is a great, like, a family mission statement. Like, we want to reassess our goals. Like, what are we running towards? Imagine the kingdom. Run towards your fear. Light your gray areas on fire. Radically pursue Jesus until you discredit your sanity. That is so Justin. Then people around you may ignite with passion. Like, that's their family mission statement. That's their goal. So maybe this is an intentional statement that you can place somewhere in your house, in your Bible, that you talk about with your kids, you talk about with your husband, you agree upon. So maybe that's something you want to pray about doing that helps push you towards the only goal that matters. But can I give you, I found this, and I think this is easy for somebody like me who's not a really big goal setter. This is pretty much, this is it for me right here. I have adapted this as my motto for my life and my kids' life, and it's out of Matthew 6:33. If you need a goal, man-made ones are great, but the Word of God, that's a great goal. Matthew 6:33, let's read it. This here is a goal to me. But first and most importantly, seek, here it is, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude when you're persecuted, the attitude when you're looked over, the attitude when you're made fun of, the attitude and character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. Mom, if you need a goal for your family, for yourself, that's it right there. Seek first the kingdom of God. This situation, how is the kingdom of God going to be elevated? This set of circumstances, how is the kingdom of God going to be elevated? Because that's it right there. That's it. That is the goal. And listen, I want to turn words around. What I think has happened is, moms, we are making plans the goal. The plan is being made the goal, but the plan only illuminates the goal. A plan is a method of achieving an end. Some of the synonyms of plan are method, strategy. The goal is the end which effort is directed. And I'm going to use this. I know I've used this, but I think this kind of will get this point across. You all know my oldest daughter is going to play college softball at Georgia. And we've, you know, had to, you know, we went through that process. Some of you are in that process. Some of you have kids in sports, and you know the whole recruiting. It's crazy. And I can tell you this, as we were walking through this, the families that were making where their kid was going to play ball in college, the goal, it did something to Todd and I that we would go home and go, wait a second, that's just the plan. Sydney going to play softball at Georgia is just the plan. The goal is that Jesus will be illuminated through that plan. So whatever, however that plan shapes up, is Jesus illuminated with your kids. Mom, making that team isn't for your kids. It's for the goal of Jesus being glorified. So really, we should now say, what are your plans for your kids? What are your plans for yourself? Because your plans are to lead you and illuminate Jesus, the goal. The goal is that Jesus would be made known through the path that your kids are on. The goal is that Jesus would be made known through the plans that he tells us he has for us that are good. But the goal is Jesus' name being made known, not your last name. God doesn't want your kids' last name being elevated. No. The plan right now is she's going to go play at Georgia. That's the plan. God could change the plan. The goal, we tell her all the time, is that she would make Jesus known in that school, on that team, whether she swings a bat or not. But we moms are making the plan the goal. Oh, if they make a great grade on their PSAT. Oh, if they get into that preschool. That's the goal, right? No! That's the plan. The goal is that the kingdom would be elevated through the plan. Look at Acts 13:36. You want another? You want another thing to pray the goal for your kids to be? This God has given me over the last couple months, and I've literally made this a prayer in Acts 13:36. David, of course, listen, having completed the work God set out for him, has been in the grave, dust and ashes, a long time. The NASB says this, after David had served the purposes of God in his generation, in the Voice translation, David died and was reduced to dust. After he served the purpose of God in his generation, you want a goal for your kids? God, let them serve the purposes of God in their generation. Not if they get on the team, great. If they marry and they're happy ever after, of course we want that. But that's not the goal, y'all. We got to stop making the plan the goal and make Jesus the goal. David knew it. Paul knew it. Mom, let's be intentional with our goals and stop making the plans the goal. The goal is for Jesus and the kingdom of God to be elevated and illuminated through our lives and through our kids' lives, through the plans that he has for us, declares the Lord. Verse 15. Now remember, Paul here is writing to the church in Philippi. He says this, all of us who are mature ought to think the same way about these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well. Been shown and kept in step with these teachings. So now some of these believers that Paul is teaching to in Philippi and Corinth, they didn't believe the same things. Some were not in the same place. Doesn't that sound like you? You got friends that aren't where you are spiritually. You got friends that are ahead of you. You got friends that are running behind you that you're pulling along, all in different places. That was Paul. He was talking to a very diverse group. And I believe this is a huge hurdle in some of our races. And I could, again, preach on this point all day, but I got to be quick. So what I believe this verse, and would you just put that verse back up for a second? I believe what this verse can signify to us moms is be patient with your kids. Joy, joy, joy. You know that's my thing. Why don't you know Jesus like this? Taste and see, Sophie Kate. She doesn't have any emotion, and it's okay. She's logical. She thinks. She's feeling of other people, and she's sensitive to other people where her mother is not. Praise God. My kids are not yet where I want them to be, and it's okay. Be patient with other moms in your circle. Such a hurdle. Again, we get into that comparing. Well, she's farther along, and I know she thinks she's better than me because she knows more scripture than me. And I'm just, that's what we do. Instead of saying, imitate me as I follow Jesus. We're slandering, not cheering. We're picking apart. We're judging. We're criticizing. We're jumping into everybody else's race. Stay in your lane. Be patient with those around you. Be patient with your kids. Be patient with where you are, mom, in your faith. Be patient. Like Paul said earlier, we're not perfect. We've not arrived. I still yell at my kids. I mess up. I still deal with sin. Guess what? I'm flesh. I'm blood. Bad decisions have impacted my life. Heartaches have gotten me where I am today. I'm going to trust God to reveal himself to me tomorrow as I wait and sit with him in today. Be patient. God reveal himself to your kids. That's why all this fighting about different preachers and, you know, different pastors, we slander, they aren't teaching the word. They're unbiblical. They're not. Can we just trust God with them? Article came out about Beth Moore. She's a heretic. Really? Really, y'all? We're throwing stones at people that are preaching the word of God. Can we not trust God to reveal himself to them? That mom that's around you that is so annoying, that is going around the same mountain over and over because she doesn't know Jesus, can you just be patient and forbearing with her and trust God to reveal himself to her? Be patient, y'all. Look at this, Ezekiel 36. Be patient and watch your step, because I believe this is a rhema word. Now listen, this was written to the children of Israel, but I believe the word of God is the same yesterday and today. So I believe this can be rhema, a right now word for us. Look at this. I will show how holy my great name is, which you have put to shame among the nations. When I'm driving, I put his name to shame. If you've ever been behind me, I'm probably throwing up my hands if you're going slow. I put his name to shame. Thank you, Lord, that you still don't disqualify me. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I use you to show them that I am holy. Y'all, God wants to use you to show your kids how holy God is. Is that not awesome? As you're patient and as you yourself are staying in your lane, keeping your eyes affixed to Jesus, God's going to use you to show them how holy he is. I love the magnificence of that verse. That's his word. Be patient. And then Ephesians 4, here is Paul again telling this to the church in Ephesians. This is what he says in Ephesians 4, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another. Listen, especially towards those who may try your patience. Anybody have kids in this room? With your teenage 16-year-old. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Y'all, we are running. Let's just be patient with those who aren't up to speed. Don't count them out just yet. Set a pace they can follow in your home. I'm never going to run good, y'all. There are people in my boot camp that can run and run. But listen, that doesn't keep me from showing up to boot camp and running. You aren't disqualified just because you don't run as well as somebody else or because you run better than somebody else and you're tired of it. Trust God. Cheer one another on. You've got three jobs in this race. Three jobs. I've narrowed it down for you. There you go. Put an exclamation point on the session. Keep running. Keep your eyes on Jesus and cheer loud. That's your jobs. You keep running. You keep your eyes fixed at the goal, Jesus, and you cheer others on. And finally, verse 16. Paul says this. For now, let's hold on to what we've been shown. This is so great for today, being the last one. Hold on, Mom, to what God has revealed to you over these last 7 weeks. Hold on to it. Listen, and keep in step with these teachings. Mom, hold on to know what you know to be true today, trusting for more truth to be downloaded tomorrow. Just keep running. I mean run. People who run better than you, it's okay. Let that spur you on to examine how God has made your running style. Hold on to the truth that you know about God today. Hold on to that truth, but trust Him that He's going to reveal more and more of Himself tomorrow. Listen, I know that Romans 8:10 is true, that Christ lives His life in us. In Romans 8:11, that resurrection life lives in us. I know in Romans 8, verse 17, that we qualify to share all His treasures because we are His heirs. I know that we house the Holy Spirit, but y'all, our flesh and our sin gets in the way of God revealing Himself through us. Like Tony Evans says, I know I got lights in my house, but I got to turn them on to get light. There is more and more and more of God that He wants to reveal to you, Mom. That's why Paul says, I want anything and everything God has for me. Yes, I know it's in me. I know it's in there. But y'all, I got to get rid of my wound. I've got to address my wounds. I've got to lay some weights down. And I've got to get rid of some sin in my life so that the more and more that is in me can come out. Make that your prayer. God, today, I'm living in what I know about you today, Lord. Yes, I know this about you today. But God, will you give me more of you tomorrow? I want a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Because see, Jesus is that drink that does satisfy. Jesus is that drug that does satisfy. But what's the irony of it is it makes you thirstier. The more you drink this water, the more you want it. Because there's more and more that we don't yet have. So ask God. And it's a controversial thing, but I'm going to say it and I don't care because I believe it's true from the Word of God. Ask Him for more and more because there's more and more of Him in you that He wants to give you. Keep running. Anything and everything, God. I want it. Last week, Beth Templeton, if you were here, showed a video, and it's so crazy. I just need you to know how the Lord works. I wrote this teaching back in June, and the video that she showed last week, I had written to end this session with that story. Isn't that so cool how God does that? She had no idea. I had no idea. If you weren't here last week, you need to watch the podcast. But in 1992, halfway through the men's 400-meter race, Derek Redmond, his hamstring snapped, and he collapsed. He was the projected winner. He was the guy that everybody said was going to win. But as we saw in the video last week, and this is a... Listen, John William goes down on the football field. Guess who's coming out on the field? Mama. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. And that's what this daddy did. He said, I'm going to my son. Y'all, look at what Jesus, think of this as Jesus. You're running and something trips you up. Do you know what Jesus does? He doesn't let opinions or you thinking he's crazy or radical or is too filled with emotion stop him from getting to you. He does just like this daddy does. He comes and he picks you up. And listen, he ran hobbling, and that's what some of you are doing. And it is okay. You're running in this race, and some of you have been running alone, but today, may I tell you, you're not alone. See your daddy God running on the track, running on whatever lane in your race, whatever heat you're in your race, your daddy God, Papa God, coming, the God of the universe, who is so big and yet small enough to come and pick you up and say, come on, baby, come on, baby. Run. Keep running. Keep running. Look at me. I think that's if this daddy was wanting to tell his son, look at me. Just look at me. Don't think about the pain. Daughter, don't think about it. It hurts, though. It hurts. That memory hurts, God. My child is hurting. My child is a prodigal. It hurts. God's saying, don't you look at them. Look at me. Look at me. Keep your eyes locked on me. Daughter, don't you look to the circumstances. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep them. And you limp and you limp and you limp because one day you're going to stand up straight and you're going to run straight towards the finish line. Derek Redmond, do you know what he received in this race? He received a DNF, as we learned in week two, did not finish. I declare over you boldly in the authority that lives within me, that is Jesus Christ. DNF will not be on any of your racers. None of it. None of you will have a DNF. You will finish this race as you fix your eyes on Jesus. You set aside everything else and you fix your eyes on Jesus, and no DNF will be stamped on your card. You will run. You will run.
I am a runner.
I'm a runner.
I'm a runner.
I am a runner.
I am a runner.
I am a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
I don't run for an idea.
I don't run for a religion.
I run with no ordinary person.
I run in the steps of one man.
One man who wasn't afraid.
He spoke in truth and grace.
He stood up and took on sin face to face.
There is no one else like him.
He made the heavens with his breath.
He brought redemption with his death.
He came to save the wayward world of sin.
Father.
A savior.
My God.
My God.
My friend.
the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead live again.
He has every right, but does not condemn.
He came to give
freedom from darkness,
heart to the heartless,
love to the loveless,
courage that starts with
faith in him who will never fail. That's the one I run with.
That's the one I run with.
His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
He called my name.
He told me to take up my cross and go tell the story.
To love and to serve and to speak it boldly.
So I will run with him.
Some may laugh, others may judge.
My flesh may cry out, but I will not give in to this selfish urge.
To live for someone that stared death in the face,
only to rise in victory from the grave.
He is for me. Who could ever stand against me?
So, with trembling hands, I no longer sit on the fence.
Lip service is not enough.
I won't just sit in a pew.
I won't bite my tongue.
But for him and through him, I will run.
He has marked out a race. From the start to the finish, I will seek his face.
I will live and I will love like Jesus.
I will live and I will love like Jesus by the power and with the Spirit he has given me.
I will give up what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose.
So I will run with him.
I will run with him.
I will run with him.
I'll run with him.
I will run with him.
I will run with him.
I will run with him.
Will you?
Would you quietly stand in this place? I just want to read off who your running partner is. The goal of your race. I just want to name some of the things that he is. Revelation 1:8 says he is the Almighty One. Revelation 22:13 says he is the Alpha and the Omega. 1 John 2:1 says he is the advocate. Matthew 28:18 says he is the authority. John 6:35, he is the bread of life. This is your running partner, Mom. Matthew 3:17, he is the beloved Son of God. Ephesians 1, he is the head of the church. Hebrews 4, he is the great high priest. Isaiah 7, he is Emmanuel, God with you, Mom, God with your kids. 2 Corinthians 9, he is the indescribable gift. This is who you run with. This is who you run towards. This is who you fix your eyes to. He is Jesus. John 1 says, the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. That is your running partner. He was the sheep led before his slaughters and said not a word. That is who you run with. He is your mediator in 1 Timothy. He is your Messiah, John 1. He is. He is in Isaiah 60, the Mighty One. He is John 8, the one, praise God, who sets us free of all of our sin and all of the things that entangle us. He is in Ephesians 2, our peace that is broken down every wall. He is our rock. When you can't run anymore, you stand on the rock that will not move in 1 Corinthians 10:4. He is your Savior in Luke 2 and in John 14. He is the way. He is the only way. And if you don't know him today, by golly, don't leave here without asking somebody beside you, how do I get partnered up with him? Because I've been partnered up with the wrong partner. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Jesus. And daughter, today you need to know him as Revelation 3 says he is. He is the victorious one. He is the victorious one. He is the one who gives you victory in the midst of the injury. He is the one who gives you victory in the midst of the persecution. He is your victory. That is your running partner. Set aside everything else. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Grab hands with Jesus. Allow him in your lane. Allow him in your lane. Holy Spirit, how do we end this time, God? I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want to pray. I just feel led to pray. Some of you there, I don't know. I don't want to take it for granted that you all are have a relationship with Jesus. But right now, would you just, everyone, can we just pray this prayer? Jesus, all authority you have, and I want you to be the authority in my life. I cast my eyes off of everything else, and I now set them upon Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I surrender my race and my life to you, Jesus. I want you to be my forever running partner. I want to run with you in heartache, in doubt, in defeat, in persecution. I want to run with you, Jesus. Today I declare that you are my running partner. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Here and now, come, take this life. I no longer want it. It's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I just want you to grab the hand of the mom beside you. Just grab that hand. And I just want you to look her in the eyes, whether you know her or not, and I just want you to say, I'm cheering you on. Run, run. Run, run. Now I want you to look at me. I want you to run. I want you to run. That's why we come every Thursday. I am passionate for you to run. The Spirit of God compels me. Run. Just run. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's to come. Just run. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He's marked out a path for you. He's marked out a path for your babies, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you to show himself holy through you. But you can't do that if you stop running. So tie up your shoes. Maybe dust them off. I know some of you are hurting. I know I'm not the most compassionate person. I know that about myself. But I'm empathizing with you right now. The Spirit of God is telling me to. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, and I know what you're going through. I know you have wayward kids, and I know you have kids that are hard. But if you fix your eyes on that, you will stumble and fall. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, the victorious one, you will run. You might limp a little, but you will run. So, daughter, keep running. Keep running. Keep running. He wants you to finish. I want you to finish. Your circles of friends need you to finish. Run. Run. Now, Jesus, put an exclamation point on this time, Lord. Man, may there be an Ebenezer in our soul of what you have done today and over these last 7 weeks, an Ebenezer, a stone of remembrance for what you have done, that no man has done what you have done. You have done great things, God. You have done done great things, and you are worthy of us taking up our cross and running. So Jesus, we commit today our eyes on you and our hands in yours. We will run. With your arms around us, we will run. We will set aside every sin that entangles us and every weight that weighs us down, and we will run. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you, moms. Go to your prayer groups and love on your prayer group leaders.